Hello, you're listening to Talking Practice Efficiency, a mini podcast series. I'm Kat Bond and I head up Partner Consulting and Success here at Xero. For some businesses, using Xero has been a process of slow change. But for others, it's been a no-brainer. It's where they started, or even why they started. When Adam Pritchard set up accountancy company Linford Gray from a barn in Leicestershire, he told his clients that they would be using Xero to work together. This was in order to ensure that the company was able to work remotely, run as efficiently as possible, and provide the best client service. Now, Linford Gray is an industry leader. In 2021, they picked up the Total Xero Award, and this was for demonstrating outstanding ambition and vision. Adam spoke to Ian Phillips, Xero's UK Head of Partner Sales, at our Birmingham Roadshow about why he's stuck to his guns and what it's meant for his bottom line.
Thanks for joining us, Adam. It's really great to have you as part of the show today. So I guess as a kickoff, I think you've got, there's some aspects of your story that are pretty unique to you, and I'd love to unpick some of those. But also there's a load of stuff I think will really resonate with everyone in the audience. So I'd love it if you could share with us a little bit about your background and then how you sort of set up Linford Gray and the role that technology played in that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, how far do you want to go back? My first real gig was working for a partnership in Piccadilly in London, and I would walk around different parts of central London visiting the clients of the partnership, doing the data entry and the bookkeeping and the management reporting. And most of those guys were on Sage, and it was a nightmare. Couldn't get the same report twice out of the systems. I found it incredibly difficult to use, and I was like, well, you know, I'm a qualified accountant, but the tools that we were using were obstacles. But I had one client who had worked for Google, and he was running a business that was, and Google was their main client, and he was in Xero, and he was making incredible use of the Google Drive. And I thought, he's nailed it, he's got it. And if everybody was like this, then I could sit in the office, the partners could fire three or four of these people, you know, he could deliver it at half the cost and get 10x the value out of it. Now, unfortunately, the main partner in that business ended up having some quite serious family issues, and they nixed a lot of that business. I got made redundant after a year of working there. And rather than go back into the job market, I thought, I can do this. I had a better vision than this guy who's 20 years my senior and has all this experience. I have a better vision for it than even you do. I'm going to go out and do it myself. I was living in London at the time. My wife is an actor. My then girlfriend was an actor. That's how we met. And she stopped working in the West End and started doing TV and film. So we moved back to Leicestershire. And it just sort of, like, there was a few months between her contract ending and me starting this journey. And so I went back to Leicestershire, rented a barn at the back of a farm near where I was living, branded up Linford Gray, and that was 2018, and we've been on that journey ever since.
And did you start with, you know, just a handful of clients and then move from there?
I got a couple of clients from the partnership that I had to leave. And then, yeah, it was just a question of being in the streets, word of mouth, attending events, networking where you could, and building those relationships where people would feed you the odd client. And I think one of the things that we were doing was saying, we have a different vision for the way that you do things. And we were very, and I was very specific about the vision. I wasn't going to work on desktop solutions. I wasn't going to travel to your office and sit there and do what I could do in your office, what I could do in my office if we had the right tools. And so if you were coming on at Linford Gray, you had to be a Xero client.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things that I'm quite interested in is that link between being efficient, but also client service. And from speaking to you and understanding your firm, it feels like you're not just using technology for the sake of it or for your own benefit. It's all about your purpose and the way that you want to serve your clients.
Yeah, certainly. I think broadly what we're aiming to achieve is when we adopt these technologies is a competitive advantage. And how does that realize itself? Well, it's in improved services. And so, and it hasn't, you know, we've gone on our own journey and we've evolved over time. But what we will do now is as means and methods of communication is that we will shoot Loom videos alongside queries and reports that we're delivering, so that they get a 15-minute brief of what that means, and we'll make it meaningful for them, rather than having to go to their office, sit down, explain the report. And then if they've got follow-up, we can book a conference call. So there's all of those touch points, and we use the technology and all the other technology that we're using as touch points as well. And the client, I would hope, feels the love, even down to things like in our email. We've got Exclaimer that allows people to tell us whether, you know, how satisfied they are with an interaction that they've had. That comes straight through to me. I can jump on it and say, you've just given us a gold star. Can we get a Google review? Something, you know, even down to that. So yeah, so we focus on, is this going to give us a competitive advantage? Is it going to improve the quality, the efficiency, the rate at which we can scale a service? Can we bill for it? And is it going to deliver value to the client? Is it going to make things simpler for them? Is it going to reveal something they didn't know before? Is it going to help them access funding or some other insight that they need on the business?
And do you feel that you perhaps benefited at that time from not being hamstrung by legacy technology, but also like legacy concepts? Like for example, it strikes me that you realized very early that clients were not paying you for your time, they were paying you for outputs.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the industry has also moved to this sort of billing model where we do it on a monthly basis for an annual contract, and there's conversations around subscription billing and what are we paying for. I remember talking to Alex at Advalorem about the difference between sort of, you know, cost pricing and value pricing. And I don't think you can get away from the fact that it's a human business. You are paying, there is an element to which you're paying for your time. But I find that it opens up a conversation about an appropriate value exchange. You know, yes, there's my element of time, but we can do this for you. And yes, we're doing it for you quickly and efficiently, but the output, the deliverable, what you're getting is so much better than what you were getting. You really do have to value that. And that can manifest in a couple of different ways. It can manifest in improved revenues. All it will manifest in is some goodwill with that client.
So let's dig into the technology. I guess it sounds like you had this clear vision from the off, but I'm perhaps interested not just in some of the tools that you're using for your practice, but also tools that your clients might be using, but also like the chronology of it. Like what order did you approach these things in, if you can remember.
Yeah. So Xero was always like number one. That was always going to be our single, and I loved the phrase, I think they introduced it single, well, they introduced it to me, single source of truth. That was always going to be, it was always Xero. And to your previous question, were we hamstrung or we weren't hamstrung? We weren't. I didn't grow up in that era. Really, I caught the tail end of it in my previous job, but where Sage was the platform everybody was using, I didn't have any of that. It was always just, I think Sage 1 came out at a very similar time I was looking to adopt. And I was like, that's not very good either. I'm definitely going to use Xero. So it was always Xero. That was the single source of truth. From then, it was an easy move into the live bank feeds, into payroll, and then CIS, and expenses, and Xero Me, and all of those add-ons, and then HubDoc came out, and it was like, well, that's fantastic. And I think one of the things the reason that we invest in Xero over something like QuickBooks is that I can trust the roadmap. I know that if it isn't available now, it's going to be available in the next few months. And if it's not quite right, if it's available or in beta or not quite right, it's going to be there in the next few months. Well, that's been very reassuring as well. And you can always sit back and know that Xero are going to deliver it.
And what about some of the tools that you might be using to manage your practice?
Yeah, absolutely.
Compliance tools and
yeah, you'll get me. I can talk all day about what we're using. So we use Ignition as our onboarding software tool. We link that into Carbon, our practice management tool. We've set Ignition up so that once you sign up to our service level agreement, it will automate the workflow and really do 50, 60, 70% of the onboarding, that part of the onboarding for you. From there, we set up the dates, we set up the automated workflows to happen every quarter, every month, every year, every other week, every week. And that's facilitated us, again, improving the client communication. So we know, I'm sure no one in this room does this either, but we don't remember anything. We set it up and it runs. And so what we invest in is the onboarding process, even down to, and you respond, you can respond to client, you know, oh, we had, I think a couple of years ago, probably somebody said, oh, I'd love to have got a reminder for that. So we put a reminder in the workflow, and we just go through the client base and we say, yep, they need a reminder, they need a reminder, we'll add the workflow to their schedule, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and now people are getting self-assessment reminders for their payments on accounts, they're getting their corporation tax reminders at certain points throughout the year. And you know, arguably it's always nice to get a call, but they've got something. And it allows us then to also track back through the timeline. And if you ever do hit a bump in the road, or you do need to go back on something, you can really, really easily and reasonably say, we sent you that email on the X, we followed it up twice, we gave you everything we needed to give you, we fulfilled the service level obligation, and we've touched base with you here, 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 and here. And you know, our job was done. And if you get, you know, even down to things like, you know, we track our response times to emails. When we've researched the pain points of small businesses, one of the common ones is our accountant does not get back to us in very good time at all. And so we track our response times and we make sure that across the practice, they're less than 24 hours. And meaningful responses, not just, we got your email, thanks, we'll put it on a list. Meaningful responses in 24 hours. So we do that, ignition to carbon, that sets up stuff on the drive that we use to store clients. So those workflows are all operating. The next thing is Xero, payroll, HubDoc, live bank feeds. If they've got any other functionality like CIs, we'll do that. We then, as part of the onboarding, we'll have a conversation with the client where we'll say, what do your operations look like? For hospitality business, and by hospitality, I mean pubs, clubs, venues. We'll say, what's your EPOS system? What are you using to take payment? Have you thought about these providers? We work well with these providers. Who are you using as a banking partner? We know that, for instance, the co-op can be difficult to get a live feed with for whatever reason, you've got to write to them. But these disruptors, these digital banks, we're having great success with getting live accounts, and they update within them in the moment. If you put something through Starling, it basically hits the bank immediately, which is fantastic. So we'll start that process with them. And particularly if we've got e-commerce businesses, the first platform we'll go to at the minute is A2X and get them set up there as well. So that's sort of how we are bridging that gap and making the friction between the business and the business owner, reducing the friction between the business and the business owner.
Great, and I think you've probably given the people in this audience a nice list of people to go and speak to out there as well. So that's great to hear. One of the things that quite interests me is this concept of connected workflows, and I think... You know, we have come from a world where if you wanted your systems internally to talk to each other, you probably had to have this pretty kind of monolithic suite of software built around a central database that perhaps was pretty clunky to use and definitely wasn't connected to your bookkeeping workflows. I'm interested to hear, what does staff think about the way that you're working? Have you kind of taken people from more traditional practices or anything like that?
Yeah, I think I have. And yeah, I, the vision was always that it had to be connected. We're a small firm, and I imagine when I meet other accountants, the story is very similar, and they end up being of similar size. So my point is that we have to use best of breed softwares rather than aggregating into one beautiful solution. And so we will use things like Zapier to connect apps if there isn't a native API connection there with them. But the staff came from traditional accountancy practices and audit firms where they were billing time on a timesheet. Now we have gone back to timesheets, but it's really to manage client processes and any scope creep so that we can understand whether a client is, and we track time in carbon, whether we can understand on a month-to-month basis across all the service levels that we're offering if that client is profitable. So it doesn't matter to us if we spend more time doing payroll than we do VAT, as long as we make the margin on the monthly fee and we track that week by week. And you know, by the side of it is, given the client's fee for the year, how much can we spend time-wise throughout the rest of the year?
And does staff feedback on this stuff? I mean, because the industry performance report that Alex mentioned, one of the most striking statistics for me, people can go and have a look at it, was about how satisfied staff were when you're kind of using cloud-based technology for three or more tasks. Are you observing that?
It's difficult for me to observe. I think they're happy. Layla, Corey, you happy? Very well done. I think they're happy, and we have the conversations. We sit down, we're very transparent. I talk to them about the client's billables, the workload, who's difficult, who we can reasonably afford to spend more time with, you know, and who deserves that extra love and that extra care when they ask for it, rather than being billed just because we possibly could. And I think they respond well, and their feedback is that they're not overworked, everything's manageable, and it's a very communicative environment. Everybody's atted in chains, Nothing really gets past anybody. If something manages to slip somebody's net, it never makes it past somebody else's. And it allows me as the practice owner to sit back and manage people rather than process. And over the last, I would say, 3 to 4 months, my actual deliverable workload in the practice has probably dropped by 2/3. That's not because I'm wonderful and doing it all on my own. That's because I've had input from very, very helpful and useful people who are further along on their journey than I am. But that's the real benefit for a business owner and for me, a practice owner, of the technology. I'm now focused on the strategy of how I move Linford Grey forward over the next 2, 5, even 10 years. And I'm less focused on, I need to get that management report out.
Yeah, yeah. You're taking your own medicine, probably, which I guess not everyone does. I'm going to try and squeeze in one more question. So I guess to some people, they might listen to what you're saying and feel like you're quite prescriptive to your clients and you're asking for them to operate in a certain way. How do you go about those conversations? And has a client ever said, no, I don't want to work in that way?
Yeah. So I have a vision for the practice. I believe in my vision. And I have a vision for my life, and it doesn't involve getting involved in complicated desktop systems and visiting other people's premises to give them outputs that are 6 weeks out of date. And so if you're not on board with our vision for the future, you're probably not right for Linford Grey, and that's fair enough. And I think in the history that we've been doing it, I had one guy who was focused on manufacturing. He jumped on the discovery call, and I said, we put everybody on zero. And he said, well, actually, Sage does this and does that. And I was like, cool. If you're comfortable and you don't think it's broken, we're not right for you. And we're also not mad keen on just doing a set of statutory accounts at the end of the year with data that we haven't had any input on or control over. And I think that's something else that working in that environment facilitates with the regular relationships. We control that data pipeline. It's been classified by our team. We've curated the information. We understand the business. And so when it comes to stat accounts and those compliancy checkpoints in the year, they're easy to manage. But yeah, we are quite prescriptive with our clients, and we will lay out the way that we do that. We'll say, you come on board with us, you're on Sage, no problem. You're on QuickBooks, no problem. We'll take you off. We'll bring in all of your historical data using Move My Books. It'll take no more than 24 hours. We will give you a certain amount of onboarding time where we map your information back into zero. We'll set your bank feeds up. We'll set you up with HubDoc. We'll do 4 onboarding calls where we learn about your business and we learn about your operations. And then you'll be handed off to your account manager to start your regular day-to-day operations and your financial administration. And we get very little pushback. I think people want a simple tool. They want meaningful insights and they want it in as frictionless way as possible. And I think and that's our goal, really.
Brilliant. Well, look, I feel like we could talk about this all day. You're watching the timer, so am I. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Oh, wonderful.
But thanks so much for sharing your story. I think that there's a load of useful stuff in there. I'm going to let you wander off, and I'm sure everyone's going to give you a big round of applause. Thanks very much, Adam.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Talking Practice Efficiency. Listen next time as we hear what MJ Cain & Co. has learned on the path to digital transformation. See you then.